Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to talk to us live. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw saw the filling out of the men's qualifying for the Elimination Chamber and the conclusion, really, of who's going to be in the women's Elimination Chamber and a lot more, really. So let's, with the opening, we'll get right to it. There's some news, but we'll work it in the middle. We start out with Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt, and from the very beginning, this show is going to be, in my opinion, off to a rocky start, and here's why. We already know who's winning. There's not one person in that audience that does not know who's winning. Not one. So that's a very hard task for two guys to come out there and wrestle a match that's going to be entertaining when the outcome is not in doubt whatsoever. It's really hard. It's harder than you think. You know, imagine if you go to see a movie that you already know the ending of, and it already kind of takes away from the drama of the movie. Very difficult job to do. Now, to their credit, they put on a very good match. And to the WWE's credit, they allowed Bray Wyatt an awful lot of offense. Awful lot of offense. And they did something that was actually pretty logical, which normally the WWE shies away from anything that has a remote modicum of logic in it. But they showed Matt Hardy backstage watching on his monitor, and several times during the match, Bray Wyatt would look up the aisle as if he was expecting Matt Hardy to come down, which means that Bray Wyatt was selling he was somewhat distracted, which is good. It's good for him because he knows he's going to lose anyway. We know Roman Reigns is going on to the Elimination Chamber. So how do you make Bray Wyatt at least not look like just a stepping stone on the way to obscurity? Well, you have him getting plenty of offense against Roman Reigns, which he did. You have him appear to be distracted by a feud he's currently in, which he did. And at the end of the night, it actually turned out to be not too bad of a match. Now, did it do Bray Wyatt any favors? Probably not. But at least it didn't do him any harm, which it could have done. The WWE also made a good decision not to have Matt Hardy interfere and cost Bray Wyatt the match, because everyone thought that's what was going to happen. So at least you got that as a surprise, that no, there was no actual blatant interference, which was good. So to be honest, it wasn't too bad. For a match that I already knew the outcome of and a match that I wasn't overly interested in, Mike, it still was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it really did look very entertaining. Look, some of the stuff that Bray Wyatt did in the match, some of the spots were very logical spots. There were times when, you know, he blocked the Superman punch. You know, you hardly ever, that's a logical thing to try because you hardly ever see anybody do it. You know, they just allow Roman Reigns to hit them. And Bray Wyatt, I think, twice did it. He blocked the Superman punch. You know, he did the old kick to the head as Reigns is trying to do spear. That's another logical spot, you know.
I think the story of the match really was Sabretooth, that they knew each other from their past feud, and so it was a little bit harder to get over on one another these moves because they knew what was coming, which, again, has a little bit of logic to it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match. It had some high points in it, especially when Bray stopped the drive back kick with that clothesline on the mat, you know, outside the ring on the mat.
Ring
but
apron,
the thing
yeah.
is though, yeah. But the thing is though is that they're on a crossroads with Bray Wyatt though, because now he obviously still has this feud going on with Matt Hardy. And the thing I noticed is like every time that Bray Wyatt had an opponent, they have him do something that would wow the audience. Like when he gets John Cena, he had the kids singing "Have the Whole World in His Hands." When he with Daniel Bryan, he had him join his group or whatever. They have to do something to make him like to wow the crowd with this feud with Matt Hardy. I mean, not just beat him again like he did last time. I mean, obviously, he beat him clean. It should be over with, but now they still want this feud going on. They have to up the ante with this feud.
Yeah, it's weird that they still have this going on, especially after they kind of put a really quick ending to it at the 25th anniversary. I mean, that wasn't a long match. It wasn't even a highly contested match. Bray Wyatt won clean. I thought they were just moving on, but I guess they're not, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. I guess they're not moving on with that feud. Oh, like you said, by the looks of it, they'll probably end up going to keep it going until WrestleMania or something.
Don't keep it going that long. If they keep it going that long, because nobody wants to see it, by the way. Nobody wants to see it. They don't really work that well together. It's not gelling like they hoped it would with the weird personalities. It's not working. But anyway, it wasn't a bad start to Raw, okay? Roman Reigns is in the Elimination Chamber. We knew that, but at least we got an entertaining match out of it. We then get to a segment, I guess, where Seth Rollins is backstage talking to Jason Jordan, and Jordan is saying, look, I've been medically cleared to wrestle, I'm okay. We all know that's not true. And we all know the match isn't taking place, but this was actually a pretty good segment, especially when Seth Rollins says, look, this is a tag team belt, so let's go get our tag team belts back. And it felt good, you know, that whole thing was good. We knew it wasn't going to happen, but I thought it was a pretty good skit. And I got to tell you, I feel a little sorry for Jason Jordan, because Jordan has done such a good job of being a heel that there are an awful lot of people who are actually applauding the injury, saying, oh, good, we don't have to see this idiot on TV. And to be honest with you, the heat that he's getting is the heat you want to get. He's not getting the heat of we don't want to see him, because if that's the case, I don't know why you don't want to see him, because he actually puts on some pretty good matches. So I think you don't want to see him because of his personality and the guy he's portraying, and that's actually a compliment. So you're kind of cheating yourself out of it, and Jordan was supposed to be in that Elimination Chamber. So you're kind of cheating yourself out of the Jason Jordan heel run. I hope we haven't gotten to the point in wrestling where if a heel really becomes a heel, then you don't want to see him because they're offensive to you or you don't like them, because that's the whole point of a heel. Anyway, the Balor Club come out. They never come out together. So Anderson and Gallows come out first. They introduce Finn Balor, who comes out. I don't have any idea why Finn Balor would one-on-one want to fight anybody from the Revival. But that's the way it was scheduled. The Revival come out, and I think they do something that I liked. And they said, look, we're not solo people. It's not what we do. We're tag team specialists. That's what we do. So coming out here and fighting you doesn't really mean anything. So pick one of your brothers here, and we'll have a tag team match, because that's what we do. We're tag team specialists. So he does. He picks Anderson. Gallows got in and out of the ring funny. I wonder if he's 100%. I don't know. But anyway, he picks Anderson, and they have a decent match. Again, and I know people are getting tired of hearing it because I get the messages, stop picking on Finn Balor. But again, Finn Balor is selling these guys the same way he sells everybody. So nobody's any stronger. Nobody's any faster. Nobody's any bigger. Nobody's any whatever. He'll sell a little guy the same way he sells Braun Strowman. He doesn't know how to sell. It's not that it isn't a good match. This works because everybody's about the same size and it's working out pretty good. Now, you could argue that the Revival really could have used a win. especially since Balor doesn't regularly team up with Anderson, and the other team just said they were tag team specialists, and you wanted to underline that. But instead, you went with, well, these guys are the Balor Club, and they've been around each other so long that the experience factor didn't mean anything with not teaming. And I mean, I guess it's acceptable, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, it's acceptable. It was a solid match. It's acceptable, and I do agree with you. You know, if everybody was healthy, I would assume that it wouldn't have been Balor in that match. It would have been Anderson and Gallows. You know,
yep.
It would have been the two tag teams that are specialists at what they're doing. And one other thing, Jordan, he has that character down. The smugness that's coming off of him, you know.
No question.
You know,
he's marked out the fans, Mike. There are fans who are writing saying, good, I'm glad he's going. I hate him. You know, that's funny because you're cheating yourself out of watching the story unfold.
They really are, and that's the thing. If this guy was healthy, this guy would be the limit for this character if he was healthy. Now, it could still be the limit, but we got to see about that.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, this is starting to look not good. The injury that he has suffered is a neck injury that's very, very, very similar to what Edge suffered before he retired, where you lose your grip, strength, and you can't pick up anything really heavy with the one hand, and it's, I don't want to, you know, listen, Edge was a lot older, so perhaps the surgery or whatever would have been too much for him to recover and come back. So that's what I'm hoping, but it doesn't look good, because this isn't just, oh, I, you know, hurt my neck a little bit and I'll be back in 3 weeks. This is major. This is probably going to need surgery. And if it does, he's going to be out a year. And that's a long time. I don't know if you can maintain. I would doubt it. You know, I would doubt it. Sabretooth, what do you think?
It's very unfortunate, man, that they're coming up with these injuries. And it seems like it's coming back to back. I mean, you know, it's acting like a lot more often now for some reason. With these aren't just like minor injuries. I mean, like these like with Paige, these are like neck injuries, you know, career-ending injuries, you know. And if they do come back, like you said, it's going to be a while. And also, I noticed how they mentioned how Dean Ambrose, they brought up Dean Ambrose coming, you know, that he'll be out, you know. I mean, like it's like they hinted that he's, you know, that he's still recovering or whatever. So maybe he'll be back probably for the next couple of months or whatever. But it's just unfortunate all these injuries keep happening to these guys.
Yeah, you have to think that's the end of Seth Rollins' match. You know, that's what they wanted, was Rollins versus Jordan, and I would think that's the end of that. So I don't know where Rollins' spot in WrestleMania is right now. It's a shame, though. And listen, Jordan puts on good matches. I was never the biggest Jordan fan. I was the one who said, I don't really like American Alpha that much. When they came to the WWE from NXT, I told everybody that it's not going to transfer well. Fans aren't going to like them like they did in NXT. It's not going to work, and it didn't. And Jordan is kind of vanilla plain to a certain extent, and his wrestling style isn't the most exciting, but he can put a really good match on. And with this character, it fits hand in glove with his wrestling style. And even though it may be stupid that he's Kurt Angle's son, that's not even really the character anymore. The character is he's this crybaby guy who thinks he's way ahead of where he is on the ladder in the WWE, and it just works. It works on all levels. So it's a shame to see him go down to injury. Anyway, we get to the obligatory cruiserweight six-man tag, which I am so, so sick of. Again, the cruiserweight division's a good division, and do we have to have a six-man tag every week just so you can see six guys? I mean, that's what it feels like. And every guy gets 30 seconds in the ring or 45 seconds. It doesn't do anything for any of them. However, we did get our first taste on Raw of Drake Maverick, who was introduced as the former Rockstar Spud. That, I'm telling you, my head almost exploded. If you're going to introduce him as formerly Rockstar Spud. Why the hell aren't you just calling him Rockstar Spud? Why did he change his name? That's kind of embarrassing to say to somebody. Name change, change of whatever, and what's he supposed to say? Yeah, changed my name. They didn't like Rockstar Spud, so they gave me this ridiculous 1960s porn actor name. It kind of left him hanging. I don't know what the hell the deal was. But what a breath of fresh air, huh? I mean, I'm not even going to call him Drake Maverick because it's stupid. Rockstar Spud was really good on the mic. He's always been good on the mic. He's a little better on the mic as a heel. But he was good last night. Very good in the booth with that division. It really is a breath of fresh air. Now, I know some people have suggested that Rockstar Spud, because they keep saying his name used to be Rockstar Spud, and he doesn't really acknowledge it, that we're going to see some kind of weird thing pulled where Drake Maverick says, oh, by the way, there's an entrant called Rockstar Spud in this. And, you know, acting like it's an alter ego or it's not him or whatever. I don't know if that's going to happen. Could it happen? Yeah, it probably could. I mean, at some point, you have to figure you're going to see him wrestle. I'm pretty sure that they didn't hire him to just sit in a booth. And I'm pretty sure they didn't hire him to just, stand around backstage and cut promos. At some point, he's getting in the ring. So if they're going to work that, where Drake Maverick is the GM and Rockstar Spud is the competitor, that could be funny. We'll see where that goes. The match itself, other than Cedric Alexander almost killing himself, it was a typical 205 Live match. It almost seems generic at this point, Mike, and that's a shame.
It really does. And one other thing, the way he got to where he got to be able to do the lumbar check, that's a unique move, and the way he can get to it from different angles is impressing me. I mean, we've said it before with Cedric Alexander. You put another 20 pounds on that guy, and he's a main roster guy. I know they don't want to do it, but I'll say it here again, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think that the 205 Live, here's the problem. You're having the tournament, and everybody says, well, Cedric Alexander is almost, like the uncrowned champion already. He's been trying to get it for so long and probably would have had it in this area and that area if it hadn't been for this or that. And at this point, people say, well, you pretty much got to give it to him. And I think it's the exact opposite. You pretty much cannot. Because everybody expects it, and if he wins, everybody's just going to be like, yeah, whatever. We've seen him. We know. I think it's going to have to be on somebody else. Fresh, new, exciting, because right now Alexander's old hat. And they don't want to see just a coronation of, oh, we knew it. They want to see, oh, didn't expect this. So I don't think you can give it to Alexander right now. It's an okay match, Sabretooth, but again, these matches feel very generic.
Right. And who can they give it to, really? I mean, because they have no, I mean, like as far as like storylines go, if you give it to whoever, I mean, it's like, usually, like when someone has that title or whatever, he usually have like a rival or like a feud going on with somebody. I don't see a feud going on with any of these guys in 205 Live. But Black Riff Mike though, that lumbar check is my favorite finishing move right now. And also in that match last night, I noticed how Drew Gulak with those clotheslines.
Yeah.
Like with JBL or somebody, it was like a decent match with like some high points in it, but they need some storylines, man. They need like some feuds going on or something.
It was a good match, but now it's just starting to feel generic because they're all the same. You know, it's like, okay, this guy is, like you said, there's no real storyline. It's just they're fighting. Now in the chat room, Maniac saying, since Rockstar Spud showed up, it has a different feel, 205 Live, and it does, and that's good, and they're going to have the tournament. But they're going to need more than that. They're going to need storylines. They're going to need characterization. They're going to need to develop some of these guys. You can't have a guy like, Mustafa Ali and just say, he's a good wrestler. That's his gimmick. He's a good wrestler. There's no storyline involved. There's no nothing. He's a good wrestler. Because eventually you say, yeah, I've seen all of his moves, and they're impressive, and they're great, but I want to see a storyline involving him now. And they're weak on that. And I hope that this Drake Maverick Rockstar Spud acquisition helps that along. We'll see. He's promised some surprises. So I'd love to know what the surprises are. I'll tell you that this week, 205 Live is going to really sort of be a must-watch. You know, Roderick Strong, Hideo Itami, that's got to be a pretty good match. I'm not sure. I mean, you'd think Roderick Strong would win, but who knows, because they're giving Itami the world over here. So I don't know. You know what I mean, though, Todd, when I say it has a generic feel? Every match just seems like I've seen this match before.
You're absolutely right there. You're absolutely right there. We've seen this match before over and over and over again. Like, come up with something new in a match.
See, that's the problem. It's so generic. We then get Sasha Banks backstage, and she's rewatching a video of her tapping out to Asuka. Bayley comes in and says, you know, you could watch this a million times. The end's not going to change. She says no, but I'm trying to figure out why I lost. I know I can beat Asuka. Now I have a feeling I know how to beat her. Bayley says, well, I got her tonight, so maybe I'm going to beat her. Sasha says, think you can beat Asuka? And she says, well, I beat you. So if I beat you and you can beat Asuka, then I guess I can beat Asuka. Okay. Before we get into the Asuka match, though, let's talk about this Kurt Angle thing, because Kurt Angle comes out last night and just forgot everything he was supposed to say, apparently. He literally just says, I'm here to announce the participants in Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I finally got that out. Yeah, that's good, yeah. You know the name of the pay-per-view. That's excellent. He then stumbles over the girl, the champion Bayley. I mean, the former champion Bayley. Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel, Kurt. Kurt was not on his game last night. He announces everybody that's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. Nia Jax is not in it. Mickie James kind of took her place. And then he says, I know a lot of people want to know about Nia Jax, why she's not in it. Well, I got a match for Nia Jax. She will be taking on Asuka at the pay-per-view, and if she wins, she will be added to the WrestleMania match. Okay, well then I guess I know who Asuka picked. I didn't think Asuka picked anybody yet. I thought Asuka could have still picked Charlotte Flair, but I guess not. So without any announcement, we now know apparently that Asuka is facing Alexa Bliss if she's the champion or whatever, which that was weird. Out comes Alexa Bliss and logically makes a point. This was actually a pretty good segment. And I'll tell you why, because even though I am totally sick of this discrimination and prejudicial and this and that crapola, and I sure don't want it to be used as an angle in wrestling, she made a good point. And she says, well, if the women's evolution or revolution or whatever it happens to be this week is supposed to be all about being equal, how come Brock Lesnar's not defending the belt in the Elimination Chamber? That doesn't make any sense. I am. He's not. So that's not equal, is it? Kurt counters pretty well and says, well, did you defend your belt at the Royal Rumble? No. Brock did. So that wasn't equal either, was it? And when's the last time you defended your belt, by the way? But then she shoots back and says, well, I don't make the matches. You make the matches. And you didn't make the match, so I didn't defend my belt. I would have defended my belt if you made the matches. Angle then says the single dumbest thing I have ever heard the WWE do and says, well, okay, even though I'm the guy who makes the matches, you might be right, so I'll just let the fans decide. You will? Okay, well, that's a new one. So here's a thought. Why have any qualifiers? Just let the fans decide who wants to be in the Elimination Chamber then. It doesn't make any sense at all. None. And then most of the fans, the first time he asks, chant yes. But then the second time, he has to go back and say, let me do it one more time. Well, that was a mistake, because then about half of them realize, you know what, I should be chanting no. And about half of them chant no. So while it was a logical segment, Sabretooth, it was an illogical ending to that segment.
Yeah, very. Yeah, and I posted in the Facebook group. I mean, I'm like, is that how he handled the situation like that? I mean, she had a legitimate gripe with that. She's a heel, but she had, but that gripe was legitimate. And he's accused of sexism, which really it is.
Right.
And he settles it by going to the fans for a decision. No, it's not. That was a head scratcher for me. I'm like, what?
Me too. I'm like, okay, well, are we going to arbitrarily just let the fans decide everything then? Who's in the Elimination Chamber? What order the Rumble's in? That didn't make a whole lot of sense, Mike.
Yeah, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense. That ending didn't make a whole lot of sense. Everything up until then, yeah. And yeah, this wasn't a good night for Kurt Angle.
No, it wasn't, Todd. Kurt Angle looked like he had one too many. He forgot the name of the pay-per-view.
You're absolutely right about that. He forgot the name of the pay-per-view. Forgot that who was in the Women's Elimination Chamber. He messes that line up, those lines up.
He was waiting for the graphic, Todd. He was waiting for the graphic. There's a big the Titantron hadn't put up the graphic that said Elimination Chamber yet, and he was like, Oh, here comes the graphic. Elimination Chamber. Yeah, that's it. Wow. That's not good. Anyway, Alexa Bliss, though, once again proves she's really good on the mic. She did a really good job of stating her case. I thought it was great. I didn't like the ending of it, but I thought the rest of it was great. We then get to Apollo Crews in a qualifying match, which is the same thing as saying Heath Slater in a qualifying match. He's not winning. And we all know he's not winning. So one more qualifying match where you say, okay, I'm glad The Miz is going to be in this, but, do we really have to sit through a match? Because to be honest with you, we already know who's going to win this. However, once again, I am in the position of having to say, gee, The Miz worked really well with Apollo Crews. I'm tired of saying this, folks. What's the common thread? The common thread is The Miz. Everything he said on that microphone, by the way, is true. It's absolutely true. This is a man who, when he first got to the WWE, they wouldn't even let him use the locker room because they said he's not a wrestler. He's a reality star, and his heart's not in it, and he's just in there to make a payday. And boy, did he prove them wrong. The Miz has become the epitome of what a professional wrestler is supposed to be. And he reborn his career, which was on the ropes. A couple years ago, The Miz was on a downhill slide straight to Jabroniville. And now look. And he dragged out of Apollo Crews the best match Apollo Crews has had in the WWE, period. Maybe not the best match he's had in NXT. But the very best match he's had in WWE, period, came from The Miz. That's not a coincidence. It's just not a coincidence anymore. There's so many Miz haters who say, he doesn't work that well. He's not that good. He works really light. He's not this. He's not that. Well, then how is he dragging great matches out of everybody? Everybody. I don't remember the last time I saw a bad Miz match. And this was a really, really good match. I don't know where Curtis Axel was. Somebody's asking me, where's Curtis Axel? I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he missed the bus. I don't think he was really auditioning for a part in a movie, given to him by The Miz. But it doesn't matter because The Miz has become top-notch guy on the mic, top-notch guy for delivering a great match in the ring. And I got a newsflash for you. He is probably the second or third best wrestler in the entire WWE. Not because he does fancy-ass moves, not because he does high-risk whatever, because his psychology and his way of working to the strength of his opponent is second to none. It's just second to none. Phenomenal match, and it made Apollo Crews look way, way, way better than he has looked since arriving in the WWE Sabretooth.
Yeah, I love the match. I just wish that The Miz wasn't in the Elimination Chamber because he's talking about like how this Intercontinental Championship, he's going to bring prestige to it, how much he loves it. But yet and still, he's going to a match where he wants the World Championship. Make that Intercontinental belt just as prestigious as a World Championship. He shouldn't want to go after the number one contendership for that world championship. Keep the Intercontinental belt. He should have his own match defending that belt at the Elimination Chamber. I mean,
well, I'll tell you something, Sabretooth. I agree with you 100%, but we all know why he's in it. Because what did they announce right afterwards? Well, there's going to be a second chance to get into the Elimination Chamber. What, are you kidding me? So a loser, a guy who lost, is going to have a second chance? And why would that be? Because we don't have enough people to fill the damn thing. Because with all of the injuries we have, we don't have enough. So I think they had to put The Miz in there, because who the hell are you going to put in there?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but as far as the match goes, it was a good match. And the thing with The Miz, I love how he's winning these matches. I mean, it's like he's using, like you said, he uses his opponent's moves against him. Like with Roman Reigns, he used the fact that Roman Reigns rams into that turnbuckle. He used that against him by moving that turnbuckle. Last night with Apollo Crews, he climbed that rope, and The Miz kicked him off of it.
Yep.
That's how he won. You know, I'm loving
how
he's winning these matches.
And I want people to watch The Miz very carefully. Did The Miz dance around in the ring and hold up the belt and say, I'm going to the Elimination Chamber and whatever? No. The Miz was hauled back to the back by Bo Dallas, holding his ribs, coughing, gasping for breath, wiping sweat off his brow, selling the fact that, hey, Apollo Crews took me to the limit. That's what you're supposed to do, Mike.
That is what you're supposed to do. And look, Everything The Miz does, be it in the match or out of the match, is a logical thing. I mean, when he said, well, when he tries, he explains away where Axel is by saying, I got him this role in this or this audition for this movie. That makes sense. It's The Miz. He's supposed to be this big movie star. That makes sense for him to do that or say that with one of his guys. You know, he's actually dragging these two guys into relevancy.
And I hope he continues to do it, because both of those guys are good wrestlers. But right now, The Miz is cranking on all cylinders, Todd, and I always enjoy watching him wrestle.
You're absolutely right there about The Miz. Oh, well, like you said, he don't need to be the world champion. He don't need that belt anymore.
No, he doesn't, because he's got it cranking on all cylinders. And right now, he's one of the most entertaining guys that they have. I'll watch Miz fight anybody. I didn't think I'd enjoy Miz Apollo Crews, because I already know the ending, and Crews hasn't exactly been lighting it up. And what did I see? I saw a totally different Apollo Crews. Why? Why did I see a different Apollo Crews? Because Crews just woke up and said, oh, I think I better do some different moves. Or maybe it was because he's in there with an opponent who's willing to do the give and take. Anyway, The Bar cut a halfway decent promo. They're doing these like cell phone video things now, and it's actually pretty good. And then we find out, of course, Jason Jordan can't compete. Seth Rollins, this is one thing I didn't like. Seth Rollins probably shouldn't have been furious. He should have been more like, damn, that's a blow, you know. But, hey, your health comes first. I get it. Are you going to be all right, though? Are we going to have to forfeit these belts? What's going on if we win them? What would we do? Then here comes Roman Reigns for his second match of the night. And Kurt Angle says, okay. And you just know that Jason Jordan is going to interfere in some way. But it doesn't matter, because that is something you're actually looking forward to. You're actually looking forward to this match. And I'm telling you right now, folks, if you really want to support a couple of hardworking guys who have really just brought it, go buy a Bar t-shirt. These guys, they've turned it up a couple of notches. The Bars are an excellent, excellent tag team. Excellent tag team. Fans were chanting, this is awesome. This match was awesome. It was a really good, solid match. I enjoyed the hell out of this match, and I'm enjoying the hell out of a lot of the Bar's matches. Now, even Roman Reigns, okay, gets booed, but you know what? The fans were into this match. There's no question they were into it, and you just knew, of course, that Jordan was going to get down there, and he shouldn't have been down there, and it plays well, though, Mike, into the whole entire Jason Jordan ego, what's in his head type thing.
Right. Yeah, it really does. And it also plays to the fact that, you know, they better, we've said it before with Sheamus's kind of, he's wrestling her, and it's sort of a degenerating thing that he's having with his injury problem, that at some point they're going to have to phase out the bar, but the bar's working too good right now to phase it out right now. You know, they're doing really, really well with this team. It's almost to the point of I know that they're working as heels right now, but it's almost to the point that they're going to have to think about turning these guys.
I think at some point they will, and I don't know. I mean, Sheamus has spinal stenosis, and he says it bothers him. You wouldn't know it's bothered him, Sabretooth. He's wrestling fine.
Yeah, that was a hell of a match. My only problem is that they should have had that match before he fought Bray Wyatt, because him coming out there to fight a tag team match after coming off that tough match with Bray Wyatt earlier didn't do Bray Wyatt any favors. I mean, it's like, okay, Bray Wyatt came to the limit, but here I am coming back out for a tag match. Now, that tag match should have came first and maybe had it after where he was kind of like, you know, tired, then he can fight Bray Wyatt. That would have been, like, more compelling. You know what I'm saying? After where Bray Wyatt is, like, picking the bones because Roman Reigns went to this tough tag team match. That would have made more sense.
Probably might have done Bray Wyatt worse if he lost to a supposedly tired and injured and weary Roman Reigns, because then we would have said, well, hell, it made it look like Bray Wyatt couldn't even beat Roman Reigns when he's tired and been in a match. So I don't know. I don't know which way. You know, the problem is, with everybody injured, the roster's getting so thin that they got a problem. Anyway, we get Nia Jax, who I'd been talking to some guys about this earlier, is looking better. Nia Jax is looking better because somebody probably put a bug in her ear and said, look, we got Asuka coming in, we got Ronda Rousey, we got all these girls that have some heavy training and they're hungry, and if you don't shape up and do more than just, you know, stand in the middle of the ring and look like you're swatting flies, you're not going anywhere. Pick her game up a little bit. Now, I don't know, what maybe her confidence is just getting in the... You know, I think originally she had this thing where she was afraid she was really going to hurt somebody. She's working with girls who are far smaller than her. And I think she was trying to be overly careful or overly whatever, but her selling was terrible, and she just wasn't any good. And she's starting to get better. She's starting to find her feet. Now, she just squashed some local competitor, so whatever, but at least Nia Jax is looking better. Let's see how she looks when she faces, you know, some people who she has to work with and sell to, rather than just squash. We then get Mickey James versus Sonya Deville. And I've been looking all morning to try to confirm if Sonya Deville was really hurt. My assumption is she was really hurt, because if you watch this match, Mickey James appears to strike Sonya Deville in the nose pretty hard, and then you see it bother her for a good minute or two. She keeps trying to go to her nose. She whips her to the corner. She's still going to her nose. I don't think she has the experience to keep selling something like that if it wasn't true. And then right away, the announcers are saying she might have broke her nose. I didn't see any swelling or anything like that, but there was no question that Sonya Deville's nose was bothering her. Mike, did you notice her keep going to it, touching it, feeling it?
Yes. And that's the thing. Now, granted, you know, this is a girl that's coming out of a real sport, and where there's a chance that you could break your nose, and she's known as a striker. And look, it wasn't just the fact that she punched her in the face. You know, Mickey James was laying some pretty good stiff shots on Sonya Deville. Maybe there's something to the point of, well, we're going to punish you for kind of hurting some of these other girls in NXT or whatever, you know?
See, I don't know if she's hurt any other girls in NXT, but I do think you might. Now, I'm not saying I know this for a fact, but you might be onto something when it comes to some of these girls might be saying, you know, these MMA girls are going to come over here and think we're garbage. They're going to think we're phony little, you know, whatever, pinup models who can't hold our own in the ring, and, you know, maybe it's time to show them, you know, we're tough too, and we can handle our own. I don't know. Or it was just an accident. You can read into it what you want, but you're right. Mickey James was throwing some bombs, and the way the announcers were kind of selling it, where they were almost kind of laughing about it, it made me feel, Sabretooth, that they knew too that Mickey James was in there to prove a point.
Right. And to me, it was a pretty good match. And people – And I was thinking, I mean, like, people seem to forget that Mickie James, I mean, she's a legend. I mean, she's active, but she's a legend of damn self. And I was thinking about, you know, I wouldn't have had a problem going back to the Royal Rumble. I wouldn't have a problem with her winning that Royal Rumble, you know, because she's bridging, like, you know, the legends and the stars of the day. So, you know, but she's a legend, though, and that was a pretty good match with her. You know, but I just, you know, and I just don't, and as far as all the, like, MMA stuff goes, I don't, it goes back to Ronda Rousey. I mean, I don't get why they make a big deal of these MMA fighters coming. I mean, like, think about, like, back in the old days, they didn't do that with Ken Shamrock that much. I mean, they didn't do that with Ken Shamrock. I mean, and he adopted well to professional wrestling. I mean, like, there was, like, a little bit of hoo-ha him coming, but it wasn't like what they did with Ronda Rousey, though, you know?
So yeah, I know what you mean, and I think the girls are resenting it to a certain extent. But, Todd, I'm sure you noticed that Sonya Deville was holding her nose through half of that match, and I was a little surprised she lost it, too.
Yeah, I noticed that, too, when she was holding her nose. Looks like she has, like, a broken nose with those hard, stiff punches by Mickie James. And, like, I guess they're going to end the match early because of the
broken nose.
See, I
don't know if they ended the match early, but I think she kept checking for blood or checking to see if, like, it broke. I don't know what she was checking. And, again, I can't find any confirmation that says she had a broken nose or even an injury, but it appeared she did. Anyway, let's get to the Corey Graves situation, because at one point in the night, Corey Graves says to Coach, be careful what you say or you'll be doing local radio. And what he meant by that, well, that was a knock on Booker T, who on Booker T's show, Heated Conversations, said about Corey Graves, Corey Graves is very good at what he does. However, he is the reason I'm not on Raw. And the reason he's the reason I'm not on Raw is because the WWE felt that I might jump on him or I might do something to him because he keeps harping on me about things I say or whatever, or making fun of the things that I say. So they told me, we're just going to put you in the pre-show thing and cool off and, you know, let that be. Now, what he said, and a lot of people don't understand, is he said, that's messing with my money. And a lot of people said, well, come on, he's under contract. What's the difference whether he does the pre-show or the live show? Not much that way. But you got to understand, that means pay-per-view he doesn't do. And that's pay-per-view money. If he's the announcer on the pay-per-view, that's pay-per-view money. And if he's just on a pre-show, that's not the same. So he probably did lose some money in this deal. And he went on to say, I'm not starting anything in an arena. I'm not starting anything backstage. I'm not starting anything in an airport or a hotel that we're in. But if I was to see him in a social setting in like a Starbucks or whatever, then it's on. I mean, he literally said that. Now, a lot of people are saying they're thinking about setting something up with Corey Graves and Booker T. I doubt it, because Corey Graves retired due to a head trauma. And you know how careful the WWE is about letting anybody in the ring who may have suffered concussions or head trauma. And Booker T is 50-something. So I doubt it. I doubt they're looking to do that. Now, is it just wrestling heat to try to, I don't know, get people interested? I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. I would say no, it's not. I never really took what happened between Booker T and Corey Graves as a wrestling shtick anyway. We often discussed it on this show, and I said, I honestly think that they don't like each other. And I think Booker T kind of confirmed it, and Corey Graves firing back and basically saying, you know, yeah, I got him. Maybe I got him fired, and I'm glad. That didn't help. I did not help. So that's an interesting situation, Sabretooth. I don't think it's a work. I just think it's a case of two guys just didn't gel.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you could see it when they was like broadcasting together. I mean, you could see that it wasn't a work. Yeah. And there's no way they're gonna play that into a storyline. Like you said, Corey Graves have a head injury, and plus like these two guys don't like each other neither. That'd be a stiff ass match. That'd be some hard hits. They're not gonna risk that with these two guys. No.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. If it comes right down to it, I'm gonna have to take Booker T on this. I've heard Booker T bit of a badass in real life, and I don't see Corey Graves as being exactly what I would call, you know, a street fighter. But Maniac in the chat room is saying, look, Booker T should have never brought this up. That's probably true. You know, if you're a professional, you just say, well, you know, changes were made. They wanted to bring in the coach. I was always supposed to be temporary because, remember, that's what they said. And he could have easily got away with that. But he chose not to. He chose to fire some shots at Corey Graves, and it is what it is, you know. Corey Graves, for the record, said, look, there were times when I didn't even know how to answer Booker T because what he would say made no sense. And I don't even know how to respond to it, so I would just laugh or I would say, what are you talking about? Because I just don't understand, you know, what he was saying. Can't figure it out. And he's right about it. He's right about that. Now, whether that could have developed into Booker T's gimmick, that Booker T says ridiculous, outrageous, dumb things, and Corey Graves picks on him, yes, could have, that very well could have been the way that broadcast team goes. But Booker T was very sensitive about it, and he'd get mad. And instead of laughing along with him and saying, you know, I guess that really didn't make any sense, or just trying to defend his position a little, he'd get nasty and say, what have you ever accomplished in this sport? Well, come on, dude, the guy got injured, you know. So I don't know. I don't know where this whole thing's going, but it's not doing either one of them any favors to keep it public. And I was a little surprised Corey Graves commented in any way, shape, or form or took any shot at all at Booker T. Really was. Mike, you know, a pro just doesn't do that. A pro just says, whatever, let it go.
Yeah, and I've over the years, I've seen stuff like this happen over the years where two guys have actual heat and the federation, whatever federation they're in, make sure that they're not on the same flight, taking whatever, you know, doing whatever to make sure to keep these two, to whatever two guys, Mr. X and Mr. Y, apart, you know. I've seen that happen. So this isn't the first time, and it's probably not going to be the last time we hear rumors of this type of interaction going on between guys or girls for that matter, you know.
This one, however, it's only a matter of time. Something's going to, if this is real, and I suspect it might be, something's going to go down. Something's going to go down eventually. Anyway, let's get to the main event. John Cena cut a quick promo. Elias is in the ring. Listen, the Elias thing is really making me scratch my head. Because the minute he comes on and says, hello, I am Elias, there's a roar from the crowd. He plays a little bit of guitar and gets a really good response for playing a little bit of guitar, a few guitar licks. Then he tries to do his job, you know, and be a heel. But first he says, you know, who wants to walk with Elias? 95% of the audience cheers. And he says, it's a good reaction from, you know, a no place town. He's trying to get the heel reaction. And the funny thing is he does. Like, most of the time it won't happen. If Kevin Owens comes out and says, I'm sitting here in the middle of Des Moines, Iowa, and this is a dump, people are like, yeah, we're a dump because they like Kevin Owens. For some reason, Elias will get cheered, and then he'll badmouth them, and then they'll boo him. Or he'll start to sing, and then they'll boo him. And for the life of me, I don't know. It's strange. He gets both reactions. I've never seen a guy get both reactions within 15 seconds. He gets a big pop like he's a face, and then seconds later, he gets a huge, huge reaction, he as a heel, and then they cheer for him during the match. It's really weird the way, you know, Elias is developing. But I said it before, I'll say it again. This is exactly the type of guy that WWE likes on the main roster. He's very PG. You don't have to worry about that. His wrestling style isn't predicated upon high-risk moves or high spots or anything like that. He's an old-school, you know, brawler-type wrestler, basically. and he's got a lot of charisma and a lot of personality. This is exactly who the WWE on their main roster likes to use. And listen, no better way to show it than to put him in the main event. And not only put him in the main event, but he won. Pinned John Cena off of Braun Strowman. Yes, he pinned John Cena. That's big. That's big. So I think Elias is really going places here, Sabretooth.
Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, like the only guy who I've seen who had it like that was The Rock. Even when The Rock was a heel, he still had that charisma after the fans were still cheering him. I mean, like, he was cool, but he was a cool heel. He come out, like you said, he get that big pop, but he come out and, like, insult the fans, and they still loved him for it. You know? So.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, though. I mean, like I said, most heels, if they're a popular heel, no matter what they say, the fans are still like, yeah, that's okay. We like him. We're not going to boo him. Elias is one of those strange heels that the fans like him, but then they'll turn on him in a heartbeat. It's really fun to watch because, I mean, they'll get this big, you know, what does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias. And then he'll, you know, and the whole crowd's happy and cheering. And then he'll say, and this town stinks. And I wrote a little song and they'll boo him out of the building. And then 10 seconds later, they're cheering him in the match. Really unusual. But you can tell that he's building confidence. He knows that he's got something going, and the WWE knows he's got something going too. He's not going to win the Elimination Chamber or anything, but Elias is on to bigger and better. If he can keep this up, if they can keep that momentum up and the fans are that interested, then he's on to bigger and better. And, again, he's exactly the type of guy that the main roster WWE thrives on, Mike.
He really is, and that's a good thing. In this match, I mean, and what we also got out of this was Braun Strowman again decimating, you know, the whole thing. I mean, and responding to the crowd, you know, and look, here's something else to think about. That tag team, he's in that mixed tag team championship with him. And Alexa Bliss, they seem to have a lot of, not charisma, but they get along with
chemistry,
each other.
Yeah.
Chemistry. They seem to have a lot of chemistry. And there are rumors that they're together, if you get what I'm saying. They're kind of dating or whatever.
There's some rumors that they're going to do something with Alexa Bliss being courted by him, but I kind of wish they wouldn't. And I'll tell you what else I wish he wouldn't do. It was really nice that he did, but I'd rather not see it on camera, and that is he started fist bumping the kids on the way out, Sabretooth.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah, and I guess, like, and to me, it's like if they're going the route that they're going with him, which is where he's going to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
That shouldn't do it, right?
Huh?
Yeah, shouldn't do that then, right?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, because it's like, do they really want? Oh man, it's kind of hard with Braun Strowman because like they've been doing like stuff with him, you know, off of Raw. Like December, he did the whole thing with like where he was like a giant Christmas elf. So they've been trying to like appeal to the fans for a while now. So, but I don't know though.
Trying to build him back up. He was doing all these things where he was almost murdering somebody, and I thought, okay. They're trying to make Strowman still be that guy that you could cheer him, but he don't give a damn, and he'll hurt you. You know, he's a guy who don't care about hurting you. And now they're kind of making him lovable again. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing. What I do know, and I'd like to talk about, is that John Cena in that match gave their reality check there to Strowman on the stairs, and the announce team was selling John Cena is incredibly strong. John Cena is amazingly strong. Do you understand the power it takes for John Cena to do that? And all I could keep thinking about, Sabretooth, was last week when Finn Balor at 170 pounds engaged him in a test of strength and held his own.
Exactly. That went to my mind. That was the same thing. That went to my mind also. I'm like, okay, was it the same guy who had, was Finn Balor could hold his own against the test of strength? That came to my mind also. And also,
yeah,
the
that
match,
hurts. I mean, and that's why I don't like Finn Balor, because I just don't think his wrestling psychology is any good, Mike. Did you notice they were selling Cena's strength, and this is the same guy last week that Balor, and him had a test of strength and were about equal?
Yeah, that's the most illogical thing, one of the more illogical things I saw on this show, and I think we skipped something, but we can get around to that. But yeah, that was sort of illogical, but in general, that whole segment with the match and what Braun Strowman did after the match, other than the fist bumping, was very logical.
Yeah, now what we did skip, of course, was Bayley and Asuka, and the reason I skipped it is because I've actually heard people say, well, Asuka is not a heel or a face, and whatever she does, the crowd loves. I don't know. I guess you're watching a different show. I don't think the crowd loved anything. Asuka was clearly the heel in that match. They were rooting for Bayley. But what Asuka did do, finally, someone probably had to put the bug in her ear and tell her, when you're done with this match with Bayley, it would be a really, really good idea if you don't get up and do your little dance and smile and act like you're not hurt. It would be a really good idea if you sold that, damn, that girl almost beat me and that girl's a whole lot better than I thought. And that's exactly what she did, Sabretooth, and it was about time.
But to me, they missed the opportunity, though. If they was ever going to give Bayley a whole new persona, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Make her like, I mean, last night would have been the time to make Bayley into more of a badass. I mean, like John Cena, like when John Cena last night John Cena's a face, but last night he was grabbing ring stairs, hitting people with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he came to kick ass last night. And last night they should have done a transition with Bayley to that level after where she's tired of coming in second place. She's fighting this girl who beats up everybody. She should have stepped her game up, but they didn't do it.
You know, I knew they weren't going to let her win, but there was a part of me, Mike, that said maybe something's going to happen, because I thought, well, Sasha is going to get jealous because Bayley might break the win streak, or maybe it's going to be a draw or a double count out or something.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen, but it was interesting.
Especially with that false finish where she tried to do the Asuka lock and Bayley ended up rolling her up on her shoulders, and it was a two count. And Asuka had to hustle to get out of that pinning situation. You know, I thought, they're actually going to let Bayley win this match right there, you know? And you talked about news earlier. I'm looking at Bayley's Twitter feed, and she says this: Asuka is like Roman Reigns. They get shoved down our throat, and we get handed shit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, now for the benefit of people in the chat room, we're going to be logging off here in a minute, but we're going to stay with this because we still got our rating system to do. Todd, there was a point in this match, especially when Bayley and Sasha had their backstage thing, that I said, something might happen here. Maybe Asuka will be counted out. Maybe it'll be a double disqualification. I knew they wouldn't throw away her win streak on a Monday Night Raw episode, but it did make me think that maybe something more would happen than did.
You're absolutely right there. Well, like you said, with the skit with Sasha Banks and Bayley, it looks like she's doing a heel turn, like the jealousy type, more than Bayley.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was going to happen, Sabretooth, is that Sasha was going to be jealous because Bayley did better, and for a second I thought they were going to pull this thing where they were going to say Bayley technically won, but the referee didn't quite see it that way, that the referees, you know, had hit the three but then called it off or whatever. I thought there was going to be some extenuating circumstance.
Like I said, they missed the opportunity. I mean, like, something should have happened during that match. If they're like, we, I mean, what do we get? The same thing we got last week with Sasha Banks. she put up a fight, but at the end she ended up losing. And people, I'm getting tired of that, man. I mean, something should have happened last night. Either they should have, like, gave Bayley more of an edge. And, I mean, she didn't have to win the match, but they should have, like, changed their attitude. Or Sasha should have came down. Some storyline related should have happened last night. But they missed an opportunity, you know.
Yeah, you know, I even thought for a second that Sasha might come down to ringside and, like, to check on Bayley if Bayley's outside and somehow inadvertently cost her the match. So Bayley could have said, I think you did that on purpose because you thought I was going to beat her. Or I thought something was going to come out of this more than did Sabretooth.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's like when it comes to these, I mean, when it comes, like, to the women's revolution, it's like I said, they're so lackadaisical with storylines. I mean, something should have happened last night. Either Sasha should have came down. Bayley should have went through a transition. If, you know what I'm saying? Something should have happened.
Yeah, something should have happened
after winning.
I agree. Something should have happened more than did. So let's give our ratings. You know, this week, probably going to surprise some people. Kurt Angle flubbed a couple of lines. A couple of the matches were extremely obvious who was going to win. But even the matches that were extremely obvious who were going to win were still really good matches. I think some storylines did progress. They did miss some golden opportunities. But overall, the matches were really good, very solid. There were some progressions of storylines that I liked. The missed opportunities were disappointing, but not enough for me to give it a really bad rating. So I'm going to give it a fairly high one. I'm going to give it a B+. I think it was one of the better Raws I've seen in the last probably 3 months. Mike, what's your rating?
Because of the fact that we got whatever we said it with the Miz, and we say it again with the Bar, back-to-back matches, I'll go with a B+ as well, because those matches were so damn good. And look, they let Bayley get a whole lot of offense in that match against Asuka.
Yeah, they did. And did you notice that Asuka sold it after the match? She shook hands with her. She was holding her back. She was acting like she'd been in a fight. She did not do that with Sasha last week.
Yes, she didn't do it. I mean, I guess I can buy why she wouldn't do it with Sasha, because Sasha's not that big a girl, whereas you look at Bayley, she's what, 5'8", 5'7", 5'8", you know, and, you know, about 135, 140 pounds, but, you know, she's a bigger girl, and you buy that. You buy her selling something from her, whereas with Sasha and possibly even with Alexa Bliss, because they're so small, you know.
Yeah, but she's still going to have to do it because she's just as small. She's no bigger height-wise than Sasha Banks. And Sasha had her in the bank statement a couple times. And she still didn't really sell it even after the match. She was just, like, laughing, like, I won. She didn't do it this week, you'll notice, Sabretooth.
No, but, I mean, like, but to me, you know, like you said, someone must have, like, called her, like, look, you got to stop, you know, like, dancing and prancing after these matches. I mean, like, you've given up giving you one hell of a fight, and yet you're walking out like with a squash match. No, these girls are giving you their best, and these aren't short matches neither. I mean, like you know, and so I guess like she finally got the message.
Yeah, and I think also she realized that the fans were cheering about 85% for Bayley, and she realized me doing this is just going to put me, you know, give me heat. I better stick my hand out and do that whole thing, because if I don't, if I walk away from this, I'm going to be booed worse next time.
Yeah, but as far as the rating go, I'm going to give it a B, a straight B. I mean, like, the matches were good, but some of, like, the setups were kind of, they were odd to me, like with the whole Finn Balor being in a singles, being in a singles match of the tag team, and also the main event was kind of funny, because how are they going to give those three guys the chance to come out last in the chamber and not give the other guy the chance? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's
kind
of
odd to me.
And isn't part of the chamber the luck of the draw? And now there is
exactly, exactly. So I didn't get that.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. The fact that Elias is going to come out last, though, makes me think that you're going to see John Cena and Roman Reigns in there, at the same time. I don't know how who's going to eliminate Braun Strowman. I have no idea how that, this is going to happen. Oh, by the way, some people have been writing me and asking who's going to have the second chance. Well, who do you think? Here's the way this is going to work, folks. One of two ways. The Marcus Kane conspiracy theory way, which I prefer, and that is that all four of these guys get wiped out next week by a returning Kane who goes back to being the old Kane and just puts everybody through a table and says Braun Strowman's dead meat. And Kurt Angle has no choice but to put him in the Elimination Chamber. That could happen. If that does not happen, then it will be Finn Balor. What do you think? It's going to be Apollo Crews? I mean, it's not going to be Apollo Crews. It'll be Finn Balor. And if it's Finn Balor, expect to see Finn Balor and Braun Strowman go punch for punch and expect me to break my television set if I see that. The likelihood of it being Finn Balor is very, very high. However, the very fact that they mentioned Kane at all last night and said he hasn't been seen since just leads me to believe that he may crop up next week and ruin that second chance opportunity match. And if he does, to be honest, you know, look, I'm not a fan of putting Kane in that cage, but I'm more of a fan of putting Kane in that cage than I am any of the other guys. Because they lost. You know, this second chance crap, Mike, I'm not liking it. I know why they did it, because Jordan can't be in it, but.
Yeah, I mean, they almost had no choice but to do it this way because of the lateness of the injury to Jordan, but I mean, I can't fault them for having to do something on the fly because of an injury, you know, because of the luck of the draw of an injury. But again, like you said, it doesn't make a second chance. I mean, I'd almost like to see them put Kane in that match, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather see Kane do exactly what I said and next week come out and lay waste to everybody and have Kurt Angle say, I have no choice but to put him in, Todd. But if that doesn't happen, then obviously it's Finn Balor.
Yeah, absolutely right there. If it comes down to that choice, it's going to be Finn Balor. Oh, yeah, my graded. I got to go with you, a B+.
Okay, so we all gave it pretty good grades. Sabretooth, what would you feel about that second chance thing? Balor seems obvious, but I like my way better.
Yeah, I like it way too. But if they do that with Kane, they have to bring back the old Kane. No more Kane being scared of Braun Strowman. No more weak Kane. They have to bring back the old fire demon Kane, setting people on fire. The old demonic Kane, the same one who put Daniel Bryan out. I mean, make him bring back the old demonic machine Kane. Don't have him getting stuff thrown on him and him begging, leave me alone. They have to bring back the old demonic Kane.
It would have to be, and this is why I don't think it'll happen, Sabretooth, because then it would involve Finn Balor having to really oversell Kane. Because if Kane goes in there against those four guys, and one of them's going to be Bray Wyatt too, by the way, they got to oversell the hell out of him. I mean, they literally got to be like, well, he's just laid waste at four guys, you know, four not really main guys because Apollo Crews isn't a main guy, and I don't think Hardy is, but, you know, the other two kind of are, especially Finn Balor, and I don't know if they'll do that. If they do, it better be the demonic, indestructible Kane. Otherwise, it's going to make those guys look bad.
I mean, they have to, though. I mean, didn't Kane beat Finn Balor on Raw a while back? They had that one match, and Kane beat him. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, they have to bring – anything less wouldn't be right with Kane. I mean, the guy is on his last years. I mean, like, this is his swan song. He should go out being the old Kane.
I agree with that 100%, and I'd rather see him in – because let's face it. What are you going to get out of the other guys in the Elimination Chamber? Apollo Crews will do some good moves off the cage or whatever, but, you know, he's not winning. Bray Wyatt, it's a waste. He's not winning. Matt Hardy, forget it. That's a waste. Now, Finn Balor, I know what you're going to get if you get it with Finn Balor. You're going to get Finn Balor and The Miz, the beginning of Finn Balor and The Miz's feud, because that's what they want. there is this big, push that I'm hearing to try to get Finn Balor versus The Miz for WrestleMania for that Intercontinental Championship, which I'm not looking forward to, because even though I like all the Miz's matches and I think him and Balor will put on a good match, faith in the WWE that they just won't hand over that belt to Finn Balor. And The Miz is a guy who is better when he's got the belt. Just like Ric Flair was better when he had the belt. The guy's trying to outsmart, out-connive, and finally corner that clever, devious heel. Works better than the clever, devious heel trying to get the belt away from the good guys, Mike. And I just think The Miz is better when he has the belt.
Right. And look, you know, you could probably say the same thing about Seth Rollins when he was doing his heel thing. He was better, you know, being that architect with the belt, because you had to figure out how to get around Kane and around Triple H and around J&J Security and all that stuff. And then you have this guy who's the smartest guy in the room who can figure out a way to beat you on a night and night out basis, and you had to figure a way around that if you want to go against them at that point in time. So yeah, that's who The Miz is better with the belt now, and we know he's not gonna win against Brock Lesnar if that happens to be the end of the case. So keep that belt around The Miz.
That's what I would do. Before we cut out for the day, let's just give our little predictions about tonight's SmackDown, because we got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and a lot of people have written us saying, is this it? Is this going to implode? How's this going to work? What's going to end up happening? And I'll tell you, it is a confusing storyline, just due to the fact that if it ends tonight, it ended way too soon, and I'm not sure what you've got out of it. So I don't think it's going to end tonight. Now, are they going to pull the old Order of Doom like they did with the NWO, where one guy just lays down for the other guy? They could, but then that would be a really disappointing main event. I don't know where they're going with this. I really don't, and that's what makes it interesting, Sabretooth. Where do you think they are going to go with it?
I think that Daniel Bryan is going to have a hand in whatever happens tonight. I mean, like you said, if they just did the whole like lay down and I'll lay down for you thing, they can't do that because they were so discombobulated and mad at each other last week. No, it wouldn't make sense for them to do that. They're not, you know. I mean, like they're building up on the fact that there's a rift between these guys. But at the end of the show though, I don't think they're going to implode, though. Like you said, there's much more story to tell with this storyline. So I think they're still going to be together still. But as far as, like, winning the match, I think no one's going to win it. I think something's going to happen neither one is going to win that match.
See, that's the way I feel, too. I just don't see how they're going to end this storyline of them being close friends. With so much more to go, we don't even know what the Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon situation is. We don't know what's happening there. Something's going to take place. I just don't know what it is. That's what makes this one really fascinating tonight. This whole entire SmackDown is built around and predicated on what's going to happen with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And to be honest, Mike, I usually can pretty much figure these things out. This one is wide open. The WWE could do a lot of things.
And just remember, Kevin Owens still has that, quote, ankle injury, end quote, to deal with. And how could that figure into this match? You know, I mean, they could run a thing where something happens during the match and Kevin Owens is going around, you know, flying around the ring doing some pretty heavy moves, but something, he turns his ankle or he does something, or Sami Zayn goes to work on the ankle, knowing full good and well that there's an injury there, you know.
See, that's another thing to consider, is we don't know what the severity of Kevin Owens' injury is and if he's going to have to take a couple of weeks or a month off. If so, maybe something's going to happen. That's why the show tonight's interesting, Todd. We're not really sure where they're going to lead us to with this.
You're absolutely right there. But like you said, we don't know what's going to end up. I like to see this last a little longer than ending it tonight. If it's something stupid like the Poke of Doom, I'm going to throw something at the TV.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think they can do that. It's because, A, it's already been done. And you know everyone's going to say, oh, they just stole the old NWO things. I don't see them able to do that. I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't even know what the condition of Kevin Owens is. He looked okay last week. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the man could be taking some time off. So we'll see. Anyway, Raw last night was a lot better, I think, than it has been in a while. And we're starting to see a few very interesting storylines develop for WrestleMania. If you don't like the fact that Roman Reigns is going to WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar, okay. But you might like the fact that it does appear that we're going to see Finn Balor and The Miz, maybe. Maybe we're going to see, you know, who's going to fight Braun Strowman, what's going to happen with the women's division. There are some interesting storylines developing. And listen, the WWE has proven that right around this time every year, they put their best foot forward. And that's going to start on SmackDown tonight, too. It's not just Raw. It's going to start. Now, some people have been asking me what's going to happen now if you're right, and Asuka, it has been revealed, sort of, that Asuka must have picked Alexa Bliss. Then where does that leave Charlotte? Because if Charlotte fights Ronda Rousey, where does that leave Carmella? She's not going to cash in on Ronda Rousey, you know, if Ronda Rousey wins, and Ronda Rousey's not coming to WrestleMania to lose. Good question. Really good question. Something we'll have to watch. Excuse me. That's something we'll have to watch very carefully. We will be back here on Friday with a SmackDown report. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.